courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSC podcast, episode number 337. Andrew with you once again. I'm joined by my co-host and indeed my co-pilot on this adventure through the polygons and pixels of basketball video gaming, Derek, also known as Deeper3 in the forums and Deeper384 on Twitter.
Oh, happy to be here again. Nice to see the, nice to see us get some new news about NBA 2K21, and the demo is in the near future. So this is exciting.
Yes, by the time this show is out, there'll be not long before the demo actually hits as well. So we're right on the cusp of that. We'll have our thoughts on that next week, of course. But this week we do have that developer blog to talk about. It was quite interesting. It was another blog that leaked and then was pulled and then put back again with pretty much the same information, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that happens, but I have seen it happen before. And I think that actually happened, if I remember correctly, with EA Sports. And I can't remember if it was with Madden or whatnot in the past, but... Yeah, I mean, it is odd when that happens, but like you said, when the information got put up, it was the same thing, so.
I mean, it even happened with the gameplay blog last week as well, went up a couple of days earlier, it leaked somehow and was screenshots were posted, and then it was confirmed when it went through, but possibly some better news with the My Team blog compared to how we felt about the gameplay blog. I think we weren't negative last week, I'd like to think. I think we were critical, analytical. We have our concerns, but as far as the My Team blog, it's actually shaping up to be quite promising.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I think the thing is that I'm not a My Team player, and I haven't been a My Team player since 2K15 because I haven't liked how dumbed down the mode feels. How easy it's become, how grindy it's become. But they did add a lot of content to it. It seems, based on that blog, including, a dynamic season mode where it's going to be up, a mode that's within My Team that updates throughout the season, gives you new challenges every 6 weeks. At least that's the way it seems. And I also like the idea of getting, it being cross-platform. Say you're on PlayStation 4 and you get, it for PlayStation 5, you get the ability to bring over your My Team progress from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, and I think that's a big deal. I also like the idea of having rewards for cards that you don't want. Like, you can cash them in for different types of rewards. So there's a lot of good things that, came out of that blog.
We'll, of course, be breaking that down on the show this week. We'll be going in-depth point by point. Just momentarily. Of course, I mentioned your Twitter, Derek. I am Andrew NLSC on Twitter. We will, of course, plug the socials and everything again towards the end of the show. Of course, also want to shout out your new show, Holding Court, which we recorded this week and is going live, or indeed will be live by the time this comes out. That was a fun night to record, although I know you haven't had as much fun with it being in the recording chair, the editing chair, rather, of doing that. But it was fun to change things up with the dynamic and talk some real basketball for a change.
Yeah, it was a marathon, not a sprint. Let's put it that way. we recorded. If the listeners on here know anything, it's the fact that they know that Andrew and I like to talk, and sometimes our podcasts here on the NLSC go 2 hours, right? Go over 2 hours. So this episode went for 3.5. So the problem with that is I needed to get it down to around 2 hours. So I had to cut out a bunch of material, and I was editing the material until probably around 5:30 in the morning. So I just woke up recently. It's just it was a lot, but it was a lot of fun. And Andrew and I have good chemistry and whatnot. So if you like us on this podcast, I think you'll like listening to episode one of Holding Court with D43, where we talk real hoop and hoops history, and we talk about the worst Twitter takes of the week, which there were some doozies, and take questions from the fans. So I think it was a lot of fun.
It's definitely a lot of fun. Look for that wherever you get podcasts. We will remind you about that at the end of the show when we're doing our various plugs, of course. And yeah, I mean, a lot of editing for you with that, having to cut it down by an hour or a little bit over an hour or so. I'm just sorry that we lost that epic debate about who's better, Joel Anthony or Yinka Dare. That was a really good conversation, that one.
Well, I mean, if I had left that in there, I don't think I could have handled the backlash.
Hmm.
of saying that Joel Anthony is better than Yin Guadara.
Yeah, and, you know, I had to concede that point. You know, you brought up some good points, but you know, it's you know, Yinka's the man. Still number one in my heart. But
yes. Hey, I'll always say this: context matters. If you throw Yin Guadara on the Golden State Warriors in favor of Zaza Pachulia, they still get the ring.
Oh yeah.
So if you. Yin Guadara would be an NBA champion, right now. So it all matters. You know, context matters. You know, it's where you are at the time, and you know the situations you luck into. That's the way I look at it.
When you're that good, you don't need to get assists. You just get the ball and get the F out of the way, right? But
they called Kevin McHale the black hole. What was Yin Guadara's name?
It's the original goat. But yes. Definitely some great chatter. Once again, we will plug that at the end of the show. Listen to that wherever you can find podcasts, and of course on your on Derek's YouTube channel as well. But as we turn our attention this week to the My Team blog, once again, lots of great information. The first point there, and I broke it down on the main page as well, and I posted it in the forum. But once again, cross compatibility between current gen and next gen was confirmed. This is by Eric Benesch, one of the executive producers on the series. So the collections, progress, tokens, and everything will be shared. This much they talked about before, but once again confirmed. Nice to know that was accurate, and that will be the case, that everything will transfer across. Once again, as long as you're on the same console family, so you need to go from PS4 to PS5 and X1 to X1X, or Xbox Series X, rather. You can also go back and forth between platforms and continue the progress. And I think that's a big thing, Derek. It's not just a case of being able to import from PS4 to PS5 and then you're stuck. It's going to continue to be shared, much like the VC wallet. And, yeah, I mean, so if you want to go back and use your... the example that was given, if you want to go back to the PS4, if you save a friend still on PS4, you can take your collection back and play online against them. Or if you happen to just, I don't know, be playing a PS4 at somebody else's house and log into your account, you can still have your progress that's been further progressed on PS5. That's a great way of doing it. A lot of people are upset that we can't do that with My Career, and I agree. Obviously, some things are changing there. But if nothing else, being able to do that with My Team is great, especially considering how much of a money sink My Team can be. It's actually quite generous for them to do this. And, yeah, I have to commend them for doing it from both a goodwill standpoint and a technological standpoint.
Well, it's never been more important with the games being released so many months apart. You know, people are going to be used to that PS4 gameplay. They're going to be used to, they're going to have, 3 to 4 months of progress with that game. And like you had stated, you know, maybe somebody wants to go back and play with a friend who only has the PS4, maybe, or against a friend. Or maybe somebody wants to, you know, they enjoy that gameplay more, that experience, and they want to go back and play it on PlayStation 4. So a continuously shared wallet, a continuously shared collection and whatnot between both is huge. And I think with all the money that they generate on, you know, 2K generates, you know, that hits their bottom line via My Team, between a mode like that, between the because of the structure of the mode, I think that's the least they can do.
And, you know, we have talked about the price hike, the price increase on next gen, the $10. Of course, in Australia, it's working out to be about $40 Australian. We spoke of that the other week, and we were critical of it, and I do stand by that opinion. But they have approached this again with a lot of goodwill. The fact that if you do order the Mumbra Forever Edition, that you do get that free version on the other platform. And yes, there is the fact that they're using Kobe to sell that and the upgrade, and the fact that it has to be the most expensive edition. But at the same time, you still can, if you are going to double dip, you can save money on that. So and of course, if you do happen to spend any money on My Team, I mean, I advocate for no money spent, don't get me wrong, but if you do, there's less to double dip there. You don't have to do it on both platforms. So again, it could have been a lot worse considering 2K's track record in recent years.
Yeah, I just hope they stick with it. Mm. You know what I mean? I hope they, as long as they do releases on PlayStation 4, so you and I talked about this, we think they're going to cut down the cycle. You know, they're not going to have 5 or 6 releases on PS4 for NBA 2K. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut it down just to a couple years. But, you know, when NBA 2K22 releases, and if they put that on PS4, hopefully they do that same sharing method between, you know, PS4 and PS5. But, you know, on a side note, we're talking about money spent. I'm looking at these Madden 21 was just released on EA Play, like EA Pro. Or whatever, EA Play Pro, I believe.
Yeah, and it used to be EA Access. Yeah,
they got like some people got a 10-hour trial, some people got the full game. I can't remember. I don't know exactly how that works. But what I do know is that I was watching influencers upload videos on YouTube, and some of the videos, if you go on, they're like, me here I am dropping $1,000 on Ultimate Team, on Madden Ultimate Team, like that. The money they are making off of Ultimate Team in Madden is nuts. There's already, like, the game hasn't even been officially released, because I don't think it's released until August 28th, like the full game for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing people already talk about dropping big money on that mode. And, you know, it's wild. It's absolutely wild. And it makes you wonder how, what 2K would be doing if EA didn't have that, you know, the rights, the full rights to the NFL license, and 2K was in the game right now, and they had like a My Team for their NFL game, what they would be doing to consumers. It blows my mind.
Anybody would. EA, of course, has done it with FIFA. There have been microtransactions in Ultimate Team, Live Ultimate Team, and NBA Live. I don't think it's been a big moneymaker for them, because, and that, to that point, they haven't really put much effort into Ultimate Team the last couple of years. Well, certainly Live 19 as well was particularly a downgrade, which was disappointing to me, because I quite liked Ultimate Team in Live 18, got into it again. So we've talked about the disappointment with Live at length, so we might leave that for another time. But yeah, it's amazing.
I really enjoyed NBA Live 16 Ultimate Team, and I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I felt the game was better.
Well, I mean, that's what it comes down to with Live's modes. I mean, they have their problems as it is, but without the gameplay to back it up, it really does need to be that full, well-rounded product. And I know that's a saying that we've maybe overused, much the same way as I use virtual hardwood or interactive almanac. But it is true that it does need to be that well-rounded product with great modes and the gameplay that makes those modes, you know, that you want to actually play them. It really is, and I've enjoyed Ultimate Team in previous games as well. But yeah, to that point, I mean, the amount of money that people spend is mind-boggling. I mean, and not just obviously the money that 2K is making, but the fact that people have that kind of disposable income, I suppose, as influencers, as content creators, that they can just drop $1,000 on packs and not worry about it, must be making some pretty good money on their content as well.
No, absolutely. And how much does it bother you? I hope this isn't getting off track. How much does it bother you seeing the amount of people still, you know, with everything that NBA 2K has done wrong over the last, you know, as far as like handling the series over the last few years? And how much does it bother you when you really think about NBA Live bowing out? Like, look at all the attention NBA 2K is still getting. Look at all the hype it's still getting. Look at all the comments under Mike Wang's tweets and all the people reading the developer blog and you know, all the YouTube videos going up about it and all of that stuff. 2K has made so many mistakes over the last 3 or 4 years, and they are as popular as ever. They're getting away, and they can get away with it. Every time I think about it, and I think about, you know, the hype that still surrounds 2K with all the mistakes they've made, it just bothers me even more that there's no competitor in the space and that NBA Live bowed out. I know that's a little bit off topic. It bugs me.
I mean, squandered opportunity. 2K has left the door open for all their success. They have left the door open. We've talked about it before. Because people are buying the game out of obligation to some extent. Not everybody, but certainly a lot of people are not as feeling as positive about the brand as before. And so there are definitely people who are interested in that alternative, that competitor. And for Live to have not been able to get its act together, it definitely is frustrating. And especially when you've seen how they've made those steps in the right direction and then steps in the wrong direction and just folded the tent almost, and that's how it feels at the moment. I mean, I don't think the series is definitely done yet, but as we discussed on a previous show, at the same time, I wouldn't be totally shocked if it is. And it is a shame, because for all the great things 2K is doing, it definitely is able to get away with some stuff that it perhaps wouldn't if there was the competition in that space. But as we've talked about before, if Live was in a strong position, they definitely would be doing things with microtransactions that 2K is doing with Live, because they'd be able to get away with it too. So maybe they keep each other in check.
But, you have to keep up with the Joneses, right? You see them living a certain way, you know, and getting away with certain things, and that can benefit you, then, you know, they would be doing the same thing or something similar. So I agree with that.
And the funny thing is, and this kind of ties into the next point about the My Team blog, is that we've talked before, I believe, you and I know I've definitely covered it on articles and on previous shows, the whole idea of taking ideas from one another. And some people get really hung up on it, like, oh, this was in Live first, and this was in 2K first, or, you know, it's you stole this idea. And I think they should. I think they should, absolutely, if there's a good idea, take that, implement it in a way that works for your game. And, of course, these are games that are trying to replicate the NBA, you know, that just want to throw out that reminder of NBA Live as well, because it's been focusing on the streets. But there are some common goals, theoretically, between 2K and Live, so they should be doing some of the same things, maybe in their own way, maybe do them slightly differently, but the core of those features and the experience, there should be some common ground there. So I'm all for them taking ideas from each other and adapting a good idea. You know, it does, as we've said before, it doesn't matter, I know, who had the idea first, who implemented it first, it's who does it best. And Live has come up with some ideas, and the 2K has taken and to greater heights, and everybody's saying, oh, you know, Live should do its own thing, it should not do what 2K does. I'm like, why would you not emulate the brand leader? Why would you not do that?
Things that have to occur. First off, they're both playing basketball, and they're both basketball simulations.
Yeah.
Right? So they're playing, you know, and they're also both representing the NBA. Stuff on, like, on the court itself, and they're also trying to simulate and emulate the same players and the same teams and all of that stuff and the same actions and the same authenticity. So stuff on the on-court stuff is going to be similar, because they're both, you know, and they can borrow things from each other because they're both trying to simulate basketball. So I've talked about this before. You know, NBA Live 19 didn't have size-ups. Neither did NBA 2K20 in the traditional sense, the way that they had before. But just because NBA 2K has, you know, authentic size-ups that emulate, you know, the way Kevin Durant dribbles or Steph Curry dribbles or James Harden dribbles or his traveling step back or anything like that, like, if they just because NBA 2K has those, you can't put them in Live. But what if they're authentic? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those size-ups should be in Live. Like, similar size-ups, something that emulates the players. That's going to be shared in an NBA simulation title. And the same with classic content. If NBA Live was to bring back classic content and bring back classic teams, are they just going to choose opposite teams than NBA 2K just because they're in an NBA 2K? No, because those teams in history that NBA 2K chose, at least most of them, should be represented in a video game, representing the history of the game. So, again, that's shared content that, you know, between two different basketball games, that's a commonality in history that makes sense to be in both. And it's the same with, My Team, Ultimate Team. You know, that's a mode that hits. And, you know, if people like what NBA 2K is doing with My Team, then, and it makes sense for the consumer, and they're both, and it's, you know, some of it's historical content or whatnot. If NBA Live emulates that, you know, and does something similar, so be it. Because, again, they're both trying to do the same. That's the point. The point is that there's going to be commonalities, there's going to be similarities, and just because, and look how many things 2K has taken from Live.
Right Stick Dribbling.
Look how many ideas, yeah. 2K Right Stick Dribbling. They did the WNBA after NBA Live did the WNBA. You know what I mean? You know, NBA Live was the first to have Legends. NBA Live was first to have the classic teams. And, you know, NBA 2K took those. So, you know, if NBA Live wants to come back and compete, they're going to have to use some of these ideas from NBA 2K because, you know, while NBA 2K hasn't been stellar over the last few years as far as gameplay goes and, you know, the microtransaction situation and all of that stuff, they do have some pretty damn good ideas.
For sure. And the metaphor that I would use in this situation is just because most cars have four round wheels, you don't put three triangular wheels on your car. There's a reason some things are done a certain way, mechanically.
Right, exactly. And, you know, in a bike reference, NBA Live needs to take off its training wheels.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's time. Well, it's time to join the adult crowd, you know, the more mature crowd of gaming and, like, step up to the plate and make, like, an all-around, you know, an all-around basketball product. Because when I say training wheels, if you look at the depth that NBA Live has had...
I like the analogy. I like it. Because
it has not been up to par.
The current direction, as we've said before, they can talk about new directions and going after a new younger demographic. What they're doing is not going to get the demographic young or old. It's not a good direction. So that is why the needle hasn't moved, and they pushed some of the old crowd out, you know, to cozy up to some of those 2K influencers who don't care about live and are not necessarily interested in giving the feedback. They're interested in content for their channel or whatever. But that's just the way it goes. But the reason I bring that up is that Ultimate Team, of course, has previously had seasons with their content, and seasons have been implemented this year, or will be implemented this year, in NBA 2K21 My Team. So there's going to be a new season beginning every 6 weeks or so. That's going to add new objectives, such as daily, weekly, and seasonal agendas. They brought in the agenda last year. They're expanding on that. You earn XP to level up to get... throughout the season, you level up to unlock new prizes with a grand prize every season. Vault prizes in Triple Threat Offline will also update with every season, as will a selection of reward market cards. So there's going to be content coming through every 6 weeks or so. New challenges will be coming through as before, but they really seem to have refreshed the whole approach of getting that dynamic content through. And again, that's better than NBA Live seasons. So it's another idea that started out in Live. 2K's kind of done certain things with that, with their challenges as well, but they're getting that structure that Live has done, but they're doing it deeper and, from the sound of it, better. And I like the sound of seasons.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. I may try to jump into My Team, you know, with some of these changes that I'm hearing. I may try to jump into it again for the first time since 2K15. I'm a little bit short on time with doing these two different podcasts and everything else that's going on in my regular 9-to-5, but I may jump in. I think the biggest thing, though, that I question is when I hear of all these new features in My Team and all of this new content, is the mode going to be even more grindy? Mm. And what turned me off to My Team was how grindy it was and how pointless the challenges felt, you know, throughout the mode and whatnot, in order to, because I'm a completionist, you know what I mean? I'm not going to jump into a game and avoid content I don't like. I want to complete a mode or get as close to complete in a mode as that I can. And I found that the structure of NBA 2K15, NBA 2K 16, Live 16, My Team and Ultimate Team gave you a sense of challenge. The challenges didn't feel grindy. They felt like they had a purpose. You weren't just jumping into a game for, like, you know, the final 1 minute or 1 minute and a half or something like that, you know, on like super easy level and whatnot, like the newer 2K. So when I hear things like the season, and I hear about all of this new content, I am a little bit cautious just for the fact that, is it going to make the mode even more grindy?
I mean, with over 2,000 cards to collect, if you look at the collector level rewards, then it ended up way over that once they started adding new cards, I would have to imagine. It's very hard to, unless you completely dedicate yourself to that mode, as a lot of content creators and regular gamers alike do, it is hard to get a sense of completion there. It's more a case, I think, if you can get some of the players that you really want. I was able to by using a trick that Shake and Bake suggested, by using the tokens from the last locker code, the one that gave 750 tokens, by buying Lights Out packs and trading them in for MT. I was actually able to get a GOAT Michael Jordan card from the GOAT series on PC, so I feel very accomplished with that. It's more a case of putting together a team that you really like to play with and getting a fair amount through it, or getting through Domination, and we'll get to Domination in a sec because they'll be adding new content with that as well. So it's kind of one of those things where you make your own sense of completion, unless you really want to go hard and get every single card, which is tough. But if you get a few hundred cards, and including ones you want, and get through all the sub-modes, I feel you can get a certain amount of satisfaction, completionist satisfaction there. Of course, you've pre-ordered the game, so you will get some packs come through, so you'll be able to get a bit of a boost there, along with locker codes, the daily login bonuses. They have made it pretty good. I mean, it's actually quite viable to be no money spent with 2K20, and hopefully the same with 2K21. So if they do continue up that approach with locker codes, the different currencies with tokens, has actually worked out pretty well, have to admit. I think it's probably going to be, I mean, it's the mode they want people in, and obviously there's a lot of tricks they use to get people to spend money, but in a funny way, by making it viable to be no money spent in my team, I think it probably does encourage people to actually spend money. So I think it will actually be, if it's anything like 2K20, I think the grind will be okay.
Yeah, I think what worries me, though, is when you mention things like sub-modes. When I think of sub-modes, I think of that grindy stuff that you have to get through. You know what I mean? Like, it's mindless. That's what I worry about when I hear things like sub-modes.
I mean, it depends what you... Because there's... When I say sub-modes, because you've got Triple Threat Offline, which is the 3-on-3 mode, and there's the online and offline version of that, and there's Domination, where you're playing against all the NBA teams, and then you've got the online things like My Team Unlimited and such. So it's one of those things that if you don't like, if you only like playing offline, as I do with my team, you could just stick to Domination, maybe Triple Threat as well. You just alternate between the two, depending on how much time you want to spend, you know, because the 3-on-3 games are to 21, so they're over a bit quicker. So you could really collect a lot of cards and have a lot of fun if you only stuck with one mode that appealed to you. It's kind of like, within my team, is kind of like having the modes of the game in itself. It's much like with My Career, for example. You can play it all. You can play the NBA. You can play Playground. You can play Rec. You can play Pro-Am. You can play Cages. Or if you just want to stick to one or a couple of them, or float between them as you feel like a change of pace, you can do that as well. So I think if you just wanted to stick with Domination, because then you've got Domination and you can go with the Historic Domination as well to unlock the historical players and go against historical teams. So I think you could be able to just stick with one and still feel that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Maybe I'll dive into it. I might do it on release day just to get like my feet wet. I mean, probably not the best way to test out the gameplay. I'll probably jump into Exhibition first, like I always do.
Yeah.
But yeah, and again, I'm not an online player, and I know that people go online on my team and they'll, you know, challenge other people and be like, oh, here's my team versus your team, all of that stuff. That's something I wouldn't approach.
I don't do that because that again is where you have to be really grindy if you're going to compete with the people who are paying for packs. So I'm
right, and that's where the pressure comes in too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, absolutely.
That's where the pressure, and they know that's going to the one of the biggest things is the pressure. It's, you know, how are you going to compete with other people on my team if you have a weak lineup? So people don't want to come out of the gate, you know, starting, you know, with a starting lineup that includes, you know, Cork mats.
A bunch of bronze cards. Yeah, well, and everyone else has got the diamonds. Yeah. No offense
to him. I mean, he can hit a three every now and then, but if you're up against, you know, Michael Jordan, then you're going to have problems.
And of course, I mean, of course, the way they release cards also helps a little bit. So it's very hard for somebody to have. There's no Galaxy Opals on day one, for example, as far as I'm aware. Certainly, it wasn't last year, if I recall correctly. So it's one of those things where as the cards get pushed through, that it's then, of course, if you're a late adopter to the mode and if you go online, it's tough. But again, if you're sticking to offline, no money spent, and it is a much easier process. Probably the bigger thing is, unfortunately for you, it hasn't been mentioned, so I would assume that it's safe to assume that it's not in the game, is local multiplayer, like local co-op, rather. And local co-op would be really great to have in a mode like Domination, and you could say, oh, well, it'll make it too easy to beat the CPU, but CPU is kind of easy to beat anyway. So it's a shame that you can't do local co-op and have a local co-op campaign mode through Domination and Historic Domination. Obviously, having two players on the same console or PC going up against online is a bit unfair to... maybe unfair to whoever's on the other end. But as far as going against the CPU, it's a shame they don't have that local co-op in my team.
If they could implement it, like you said, you know, make it so it's only when you play against the computer, like the, you know, local co-op, not like play against other humans, unless there was like a system they could put in where it was local co-op versus local co-op.
Yeah, you know, two versus two or whatever, yeah.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, I can guarantee you that not only videos would go up on my YouTube for local co-op my team, but my brother and I would get really into it. Because if you think about it, the reason why we're into NBA Playgrounds 2, part of the reason is because of collecting. You know what I mean? We're collecting the players.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
And we prefer, over the arcade experience, we prefer that 5-on-5 experience. And we prefer that type of gameplay over, you know, NBA Playgrounds and whatnot. So if we're spending that much time with NBA Playgrounds 2, NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, you know, we would be spending a lot of time with NBA 2K21, my team. So, yeah, that is a great idea. And like you said, it could be implemented through Domination and through, you know, human versus CPU.
And that would be the way to do it. Triple threat off, you know, offline play. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. There's an NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, which has a same system of unlocking players, which you can then use online if you do want to go online. It has the same system of having to build a team through random drops, through loot box mechanics, and also does even have microtransactions as well in for the golden bucks in 2K Playgrounds 2. So it's definitely something they could do without ruining the competitive balance, especially if it's just keeping it to offline play. So it's something that's worth putting out there, I think, as an idea. I think a lot of people would enjoy that. I know couch co-op is not as popular as it used to be, but obviously it's still a thing. And if you just put it in the game against for Domination for the offline modes and Triple Threat Offline, I think people would definitely take to it. Speaking of Triple Threat Offline, this year it's going to begin with 300 wins on the ladder. Last year it was just the full 1,000 wins on day one, which was a very daunting ladder to look at. Each season is going to add more wins to earn with new prizes that level up to stay consistent with new cards as they're released. That was also a problem last year, Derek, was that you would have the top prize of getting all the 1,000 wins and all the other different levels, and the rewards weren't that great. The higher you got up, and they were superseded by and surpassed by new rewards and new content that came through. So this way, with each season adding more wins to earn, you know, you get to 300 wins. If you really grind hard and get those 300 wins before Season 2 starts, you'll be able to continue opening the vault and getting prizes from there. You just won't get any more rewards that you would get on the ladder. I think that's a better way of handling it again, because once again, it was very daunting to see those 1,000 wins from the tip-off, from the launch day of the game. Plus, again, they didn't update the rewards to suit the way the mode was changing with other new cards. So that's a very logical change, looking at that, and something I hadn't thought of. I mean, I know that it's occurred to me that the rewards aren't as good as they should be, but that's definitely kind of solves that problem, at least on paper.
Well, that's kind of a drop, huh? 1,300.
Yeah. I mean, they'll probably be over 1,000 by the time all the seasons finish, but it's
It's the grind part that I'm talking about. The stuff I can't get into. I can't get into that grind. And you can say that I'm, you know, not hardcore or whatever, but my life has changed. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Maybe when I was younger, maybe I would get into something like that. Maybe when I had more time, and maybe when I didn't have, you know, the responsibility that I have today, maybe I would get into it. And you know what? Maybe kids and some young adults can. But that's just, like you said, daunting. You know, you use the words like daunting. It's, you know, it's a daunting to look at. Even 300 games sounds insane. But at the same time, what's the length?
Of those games? Triple Threat Offline is probably going to finish most games within 5 to 8 minutes.
Exactly. So that's not terrible. It's still daunting.
It's
not absolutely terrible.
And it is. I think those modes are definitely aimed at the younger crowd, or certainly people that have enough time on their hands to just play and, you know, game after game after game and play every weekend and whatever. It's what it's aimed at, and I suppose that's why, again, the game does have something for everybody. If you are that traditional gamer, more traditional like us, there is still the NBA side of my career or my league and exhibition play and everything. You know, I don't think you're ever going to lose that from 2K because it's just, if nothing else, they're not really going to get the attention that perhaps we'd like, but they're never going to be removed. And that is, again, an issue that with the NBA Live that they haven't really focused on the fact that you need those core modes, even if you're not going to do a lot with them every year, just have them at a decent depth and just continue it. But I think that's a great way to handle Triple Threat offline this year, much less daunting, as you say, still kind of daunting. And I alluded to it before, but Domination is also going to receive new tiers throughout the year. Starts out with the NBA Domination and Historic Domination in previous years. They're going to be adding new campaigns, I suppose, for lack of a better term, to Domination throughout the year. They're not going to come through with each new season, so not every 6 weeks or so, but do expect a few to come through. So once again, it's new things that freshen up the game, Derek. New, again, for lack of a better word, campaigns for Domination, something new to play. I think maybe they figure that people do get through Domination if you just stick with that, that they're getting through it and then not really having much to do after that. So it's giving everyone, who, no matter which sub-mode of my team you like, it's going to have some fresh content. So again, and these seasons, they're not going to require any kind of additional pass or microtransactions, apart from, of course, buying the packs, but you don't have to buy your way into the new content coming through. Well, you know, again, if you can buy the packs, but as far as the games, the challenges you can play are all just included in the price, which is something to not be taken for granted these days. And in the age of recurrent revenue, but again, pushing through new content for Domination, which hasn't really got that kind of thing before, is just another great move. And of course, being able to share that between next gen and current gen will make that so much easier.
Well, amount of content and fresh content has never been a problem with NBA 2K. Right? I mean, they're always freshening things up. You know, we talked about, you know, adding new classic teams every few years, adding new modes, adding new customization like Jersey Creator and all of that stuff. You know, the difference between NBA 2K10 and the different content that you got in NBA 2K11 as far as the classic content goes and stuff like that. You know, we can always expect, you know, new and fresh content. Is it always well executed? No. We've talked about that before. But as far as, you know, depth, you know, new content, fresh content, that's kind of a staple for, you know, the NBA 2K series.
Definitely. And that's true. I mean, you look at some of the new content that's lacking. I think the big thing this year with cards, in particular card packs, are the odds. Because the odds still aren't displayed. You've still got packs that, unlike NBA Live, when NBA Live was doing its better packs with Ultimate Team, if you got historic packs in Live, you were getting one of the historic players. May not be the player you want, but you were getting a historic player. You can buy a throwback pack of sorts in 2K, and even the really expensive packs have just such terrible odds that I'll be interested to see if they tweak that, because the odds didn't make them worth purchasing, which meant it wasn't worth grinding for VC or paying for VC. So if they make the odds a little bit better, I think that, you know, this is, I hesitate to say it because it's giving them ideas about how to make more money with recurrent revenue mechanics and loot box mechanics. But logically, if they want to push the revenue up, then you have to give people bang for their buck, which would mean actual better odds on the packs. And even if they're not, the pack odds were so terrible last year that I'm interested to see if they'll be tweaked, because tweaking them and making them a little bit better might actually make them more money. So maybe that'll, you know, it can be mutually beneficial, funnily enough.
Well, what are the odds in NBA 2K21 that I can get a Shaq that dribbles like Steph Curry and shoots threes like Steph Curry? That's all I want to know.
Well, I mean, you're probably able to get that card. Whether you can get that card without spending a lot of money, yeah, that's a different matter altogether.
No, and I see what you're saying too about, you know, encouraging practices that could make NBA, you know, excuse me, that could make 2K more money. The pack odds have always been interesting. And my brother and I talk about this with NBA Playgrounds too. So we grind out an entire season and we play, you know, including playoffs, I think it's like 20 games or something like that, 20 to 22 games. And we have enough money at that point to buy a few gold packs. And it seems like every single time we buy a gold pack, it's garbage.
Yeah.
I hate to use that term, strategy, because it's so overused, trash, garbage, or whatever. But when I say garbage, I mean you're not getting a true legend. You're not getting an epic legend a lot of the time. You know, when you get that player, it's not the one you want. You get loaded with duplicates and stuff like that. And then we say at the end of it, we're like, man, we wish we had just bought a player flat out. Like, yeah, straight up, yeah, instead of buying packs. And I'm sure that a lot of people feel the same way when they're playing my team, I wish I hadn't wasted my money on this.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because while I was spending all the tokens on the Lights Out packs to boost my MT by just flat out selling the cards to do that, I was buying pack after pack and opening them, you know, ripping packs, as the kids like to say these days. And I got, like, I would get the same double about 5 or 6 times in a row from the packs that I was spending tokens on. So that's in my team. So I was wondering what it was like in Playgrounds 2, because with Playgrounds 2, I actually, as I mentioned on a previous show, because my cousin was coming down to stay, and we just had basically the evening and the next morning to, taking the day off work and having an old-school gaming session, two men in our 30s playing video games. Very mature. But anyway, that's no shame. No shame. But the fact that we didn't want to grind through everything in less than 24 hours to play, I did pay for the unlock. So I haven't seen what the pack odds are really like in Playgrounds 2. So it sounds to me like, the much like NBA 2K with my team, that it's way too easy, despite the plethora of cards available, it's way too easy to get doubles. And that is a big problem in 2K, and sounds like it's a problem in 2K Playgrounds 2 as well. And that just shouldn't be. When you've got over 2,000 cards to collect, you shouldn't be getting doubles so readily, so easily.
Yeah, so we bought 3 packs the last time. And remember, to buy 3 packs, I want to say this almost took us 30-plus games. And still, that's a lot of time.
It is.
To spend game. And, you know, we got 3 packs. The 2 high-level cards that we got in the pack, in the first 2 packs, were duplicates. And the third one was 4 players that we didn't want that weren't big names at all. And then the fifth card was like Robert Parrish or something. And it's like we basically grinded for 30 plus games on NBA Playgrounds 2 for Robert Parrish. That was not that Robert Parrish is a bad card, right? Like, it's not bad to get like Robert Parrish or anything, but you know, that to
it's not
do
up
that
tier.
All those packs, right? Exactly. What we could have done, though, is if we had used all of that money that we made in those 30 plus games, we could have gotten Bill Russell. Like, we could have bought Bill Russell straight up. So which do you think that we should have done?
In hindsight,
but yeah, there's lots of duplicates. I hate the duplicates. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it like real pack opening in real life. They also want you to buy more packs, so it's a combination of both, because more packs, more money. But yeah, it's not favorable, and I'm guessing that's similar to the way it is in 2K20 and will be in 2K21.
I think so too, and it's funny, because if you do compare it to real pack odds, I did a video a few years back with 2K17. I'd saved up a bunch of VC and bought a box at towards the end of the year, and bought a couple of real packs of cards at the time. And I compared, I've done the video, you can check it out on the YouTube channel, of course, youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center, the My Team pack openings, real packs versus My Team packs. And the odds of getting a decent amount of cards and no duplicates out of packs of, out of real packs is so much a lower chance of getting the bottom of the barrel cards and, you know, getting a few inserts with the packs. It was just, the real packs are just so much better. So it's not realistic for a start. And of course, they last a lot longer, because once the servers are shut down, my team goes as well. So that's a thing. And of course, and that comes back to the grind, having to grind every year, much like grinding a player in my career, which is why it's such a turn-off for, I'm sure, for you and for many other people, and myself included at times. It's trying to grind my career and my team is quite a chore. But the pack odds definitely could be better, should be better. Whether they will be, I'm inclined to think that they won't be changed that much, which again is funny, because they could actually probably make more money if they did have better odds. But it's possible to earn a fair few good cards through locker codes and other giveaways. The daily login bonuses, it's always worth just logging in every day, and which is also, I guess, kind of a I don't want to say scam, but it's definitely a technique to get engagement up, because if you're logging in every day, you're at least firing up the game every day. But at the same time, you can get some decent rewards from it, so it's a double-edged sword. But so Domination receiving new tiers, as I said. My Team Unlimited is back in the game, My Team Unlimited 2.0. Derek, that is the online 3v3 mode there. It's going to have 9 leagues this year, each with a set number of wins to advance to the next. If you only need to, say, win 3. If the first level of the league needs 3 wins, you can just have those 3 wins. You don't need to keep going. Then it less levels up. Then you've got to maintain the... Yep.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
So you brought up 3-3, and sorry for the listeners. I mean, to interrupt Andrew. But so I didn't want to forget this point. So we talked on several episodes about arcade, right? Like how arcade games still have a place. Like if they're released right and they're executed properly, fun, zany, arcade style action, even if it's loosely based on simulation or the real sport, and has some authenticity and real names and stuff, those still have a place. So there's this new mode in Madden 21, and it's called the Yard, I believe, and it's 6-on-6 football. And I'm watching these YouTube guys, they're uploading videos. These videos are getting thousands and thousands of views. And I'm watching the commentary on Twitter, and people are having an absolute blast with this mode. Mm. And what it is it's 6-on-6 football, loosely based on authenticity. And it's wild football, like wild, zany football. And I wanted to bring that up because, we talk about how there's no real, there's hardly any players in the arcade sports space for basketball. Or for football or anything like that. And the reactions to that mode, the Yard, on Madden 21 is, again, more proof that there's room for for games in that space and developers to make games in that space.
Well, it definitely is. And the Triple Threat offline and online and My Team Unlimited, et cetera, is played in the, the Anti-Up Arena, which is the... which is a gambling arena in my career. We actually put the VC on the line in games. A straight up gambling mechanic that has ATMs where if you go up and interact them with, you can actually buy VC. Again, with all the complaints about microtransactions and gambling mechanics in 2K, I don't know why Anti-Up isn't brought up more often. But anyway, so it takes place.
Jim Sterling bring that up?
I don't know if he has. I've written an article on it. I wrote an article on it. Jim Sterling has talked a lot about about gambling mechanics. I don't know if he's talked about that one in particular, because it kind of flies under the radar, because it's, you don't have to play it. You can play just straight up Playground, because Anti-Up and My Team Unlimited and the Triple Threat Offline and everything that takes place in there, the gameplay uses Playground animations. So it is a looser style, the 3v3 play under those modes. And with Anti-Up, it's kind of looked at as the elite, where the elite players go to put their VC where their mouth is, kind of thing, to virtually coin a phrase. So it's not like with My Team, for example, where there's no way around the fact there's loot boxes. Whereas you can play My Career and you can play online, the connected modes of My Career, like Cages and Pro-Am and The Rec and The Playground, without ever spending VC except on your player. There's no gambling mechanics there. If you avoid Anti-Up, that's the thing, whereas you can't avoid the loot box mechanics of My Team packs if you play My Team. I think that's what it comes down to, is that Anti-Up you can avoid completely, and a lot of people do. That's the only reason I can think of why it's not a bigger deal, because it is straight up gambling your VC. You go to the court where that has the amount of VC that you need to at least have to wager, and then if you win, you get the VC prize, and if you lose, you lose the VC. So that it is gambling, but it is something you can avoid. It's whereas the other mechanics you can't. So I suppose that's where it's flying under the radar.
It's like Michael Eskinas' book with Michael Jordan. It's Michael and Me, Our Addiction to Gambling. My cry for help. It's it's NBA 2K and me.
My addiction to Anti-Up.
My addiction to Anti-Up and NBA 2K. My cry for help. But yeah, that's wild, and it's wild that they can get away with it.
It is, but that is where that bit of more of an arcadey style comes in those modes. So Unlimited 2.0 will presumably still have that. 9 leagues, leveling up and having to maintain the number of wins to stay in the league. Each league has its own prizes, and they will come through with the number of wins that you achieve and comes through with the seasons and whatnot. They're also introducing My Team Limited, which is a new 5v5 mode. It's online only. It's only going to be playable Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So a weekend of My Team gaming, basically. It's going to challenge gamers by featuring restrictions on lineups. The example that Eric gave was no players over the age of 23, for example. So you've got to use whatever you've been challenged to use in your collection. This is where you collect the championship rings that were hinted at in a previous, I believe, video or preview. So the championship rings in My Team Limited, you'll be able to earn rewards if you get by the number of championship rings you unlock for challenges that you complete. If you get all five within the season, you're able to unlock a grand prize every single season. So once again, it's just a new 5v5 online mode, but it's going to have different restrictions. So that's kind of different, actually, Derek, because a lot of the things with My Team Online is that people will just load up their lineups with Galaxy Opals and they'll have all the great cards. That might actually be more open to people who have got the lesser collections, because there might be challenges that say, okay, you can only go on My Team Limited with bronze cards. You have to put together a lineup of bench warmers or a lineup of rising stars that are only silver or gold level. So I don't want to really play online with My Team, but for the people who do, I think that could potentially be a good idea.
I do like it. I mean, and we've had that before, you know, not online, but for offline, I believe, you know, the challenges where it's you must have only bronze players, or you can't play this challenge unless you only have bronze. Lives done it too. So we've had it before, and I do think it's a good idea. I like the idea of weekend events, and I think the gaming industry is moving a lot in this direction as far as event sequencing, because they want you to jump on the game. You know what I mean? They want you on the game more. And if there's a special event, what are you going to want to do? You want to jump on for that special event, and you know you don't want to miss out. So, I mean, it makes people spend more time with the game as well. So, I have absolutely no. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about, if you play like a online game like Elder Scrolls Online, which is an incredible, millions of people play that game, or you know any of the other MMOs or online RPGs, Fallout 76, they have triggered events that happen, you know, throughout the week at different times. Yep. And what people do is they're like, you know what? I'm not going to miss out on this reward. I'm not going to miss out on this content. I'm not going to miss out on this event. So I'm going to jump on. So it encourages people to spend the time on the games more. And I don't have a problem with it as long as it's not costing anybody money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when they do something like this and it's not a detriment to the gamer, I like it.
And they've done the same thing in the neighborhood with My Career. And look, I have my own quibbles with the neighborhood, but of course they do have events such as Dime Time, where you, not as opposed to Dame Time, where you're trying to get as many assists collectively as a community as you can, and by everybody who participates, I think gets a base rate of 2,000 VC, which helps out here and there with upgrades or cosmetic items and whatnot. It's you know, you never turn down free VC. And I think if you the top contributor, you get extra prizes and things like that. And there's other such events. What is it? I forget that. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the dunk one. It's not Dunkfest. Or is it Dunkfest?
Or is that just the worst video game you've ever played?
It's... Oh, man, that is definitely... I can't wait to do the Wayback Wednesday on that one. I may have to do a video on that one just to... Because I don't think... I like to think of myself as a good writer, Derek, but I don't know if my words without actual footage can do that game justice. But I'll get to that. But yes, it definitely is one of the worst I've played. One of the worst, if not the worst. I want to say Dunkfest, but either way, that's the one where collectively you try and get as many dunks as you can in playground games. And there's other such events in the neighborhood that much like an MMO. Yeah, you can get special rewards and they're scheduled events. So the fact that they've adopted that for My Team, I think, is definitely a great idea. And the other great idea that you alluded to in our introduction for this week's show is the exchange. And this is going to allow us to trade in unwanted cards for rewards. So everyone with my team knows, who's played my team knows, that you will accumulate cards that you're just never going to use. They're really only good for padding the collection to get to the different reward levels, and after that you're just never going to use them. They just kind of just sit there in your inventory and just make up the numbers. But with the exchange, you'll be able to trade them in for new cards and new rewards that will come through throughout the season. However, there is a risk factor here because if you're a My Team Limited player, because some of those unwanted cards might qualify you for those events, to qualify for those events to take part in them. For example, if you trade in all your gold, this is just a fictional example. If they were to trade in a bunch of gold cards for a great reward, a pink diamond or something, you could do that. But then you might find yourself shorthanded of gold cards to take part in a My Team Limited event. On the other hand, if you don't want to play My Team Limited, then you can just use the exchange, perhaps to your heart's content, just to get some really good cards to play with and use in other modes. I'm all for this because before the only way to really turn in cards before has just been to turn them into MT, either by auctioning them off in the auction house, obviously, or just flat out selling them for prices that are really low. But if you're desperate, you can do it, and if you have enough of them, you can build up MT, of course. But this is one thing that I think is really great, Derek, is that if you do have those unwanted content, and I wish you could do this in my career as well. If you spin rewards on the daily spin that you don't want, like clothes or something, that you could trade them in for 75% of their cost or whatever, to be able to take some content that you're not going to be used and turn that into content that you might like, again, I think is a really good idea, and it's one of those things that probably should have been in there by now, but it may alleviate the fact that those cards often go to waste.
Yeah, I mean, I want to bring on NBA Playgrounds 2 again because of the way they do it, and so I'm a little bit cautious of this. I think it's a great idea, and people deserve that, but you know, one thing that happens is there's an automated reward for a duplicate in NBA Playgrounds 2, and it gives you like this very small amount of XP. Like, you'll spend 5,000 coins on a pack, and you'll get like 100 XP for a duplicate out of that pack. So it doesn't like make up for it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if you have poor cards that you want to get rid of, from my understanding, there's always been a way to, basically get a small reward. Am I correct? Like, yeah. if you had a card you didn't want, there was always a way to get a really super small reward by, you know, putting it on the marketplace for a, like, really small fee, right?
There are some cards that you can straight up sell. In my career, at my team.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you can just quick sell them, and some of the better cards that you might get 3,000 to 5,000 MT for them. Of course, if you put some of those cards on the open market on the auction house, you could get hundreds of thousands of MT with the way the market works these days. So the quick sell options haven't really caught up to the unregulated market, which is another problem with the auction house and my team that is worth bringing up. I've been planning an article on that because it is a problem that is somehow flying under the radar as well with my team that I've noticed. But the other thing that people can do, because you have rewards for completing collections, for example, getting complete teams of the current collection or complete special cards, premium cards, sets, you can get tokens and unlock other cards and everything. To get that, because people want to get specific cards, they go into the auction house looking for those specific cards. So you can get a bronze player, like a 69 overall player, 65 to 68, 69 overall player that's a bronze card selling for 20, 30, or 30,000 MT because they're such a rare card and people need that to complete the set. It's so you can really use the auction house to your advantage if you've got a double of a really, really crappy card, basically, but it's one that people need to collect the set, so you can set your price. So that there's all these tricks that with the auction house, and because it's unregulated, it's just way out of control. You've got cards selling for millions of MT this year, which is just so ridiculous. So there's problems like that, but maybe this will alleviate that by being able to trade those cards in, at the exchange for better rewards.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, and we'll see how it works. I wanted to bring up something too that I don't know if anybody else has tried this, but I'm a little upset that I can't get a hold of the NBA Playgrounds, the original. I can't get it. I can't get it for the PC. I can't get it for PS4.
Took it off Steam. Took it off store. Yeah.
It's completely gone. Somebody selling a key for it on eBay. I reached out to him and I said, you know, how would this work? Because it's not available on Steam anymore, and he never got back to me. Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up too. I'm just a little upset that I never played the original NBA Playgrounds and I can't get it. I think it's a crappy move on 2K's part to just complete, and Saber's part too, because they had to agree to it, to you know, just completely remove a game from history. You know what I mean? Like, we can't even get it now.
And that, that is the other downside of digital as well.
Yeah, that's the other side. Exactly. I can't get a physical copy of it.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't get it.
As it was not,
because it looks like, you know, watching gameplay, it looks like it had some pretty good bones.
The thing is, it's one of those games that unless something's completely removed from Steam, because it's still there to download if people uninstall the game and install it again. So I imagine if you got a legitimate key, you would actually, through eBay or whatever, you would actually be able to redeem the game. It's just... if you bought it and it wasn't legit or whatever, it had already been used, there wouldn't be much recourse, except I suppose maybe to go through, put in a PayPal eBay complaint, I suppose, but you probably would be able to actually redeem it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe I'll take it. It's only a few bucks. Maybe I'll buy it on Steam, buy it from eBay, the Steam code, and see if I can actually get it activated or something like that. It's frustrating because I do like Playgrounds too, so I really wanted, and I'm a collector.
Yeah,
so I wanted.
It would be interesting to find out. I'm pretty sure that again, because it's still there on the server to download. If you've already, you know, it's no longer in the store as you note, but you probably could still get the PC version with a unused key.
Yeah, I'll take a look at into it, and I'll get back to you on the next episode. We can talk about it. Yeah, but as far as the auction house being out of control, I think that I would almost rather it be out of control than have a, like, restriction on it. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I believe in people being able to... I know it's not always fair. Right, you have your own collections and stuff like that, and you can get your cards in different ways and everything. You don't have to, you know, buy from somebody. But I don't want to restrict people's freedom. You know what I mean? The gamer's freedom.
Yeah, that's the downside of regulation. Yeah.
Right, that's what I mean. Right, I don't want that's the word. I don't want people to be regulated into a certain dollar amount that they can only sell a card for. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or place on the marketplace for something like that. So that's just my opinion. I don't know. That's probably going to get a mixed bag of reactions, but that's just my opinion.
Well, for buy it now, the maximum you can do for buy it now is 100,000 MT. So if the only thing that if you want to put it up there on the market, much like you can have the buy it now or auction on eBay with the auction house, you can have a set price to buy now, as I'm sure you're aware. That is limited at 100,000 these days. But it's also the maximum starting bid you can put for auctions. But because there are people buying thousands, millions of MT through illegal third-party avenues, that's where the bids of millions of MT are coming in.
A little bit more sense. Okay, so that makes a little bit more sense. You can tell I'm a little bit disconnected because I haven't played it really since 2K15. That makes more sense. Do you think that they should have a max for how high the auction can go, where once it gets maxed out?
I think that kind of regulation, and again, it's one of those things like, do you want to limit it? But the fact is, because you look at how much MT you can actually earn by playing the game, and then you look at how much the cards go for, and the fact that they're going for it by people buying it and violating the terms of service but to do it, I think you kind of have to have some kind of regulation there, that maybe there's an upper limit of 500,000 or something, which is still ridiculous, amount of MT to have to earn, and it's probably not going to cut it down. But I mean, they've got measures in place like taking a 10% fee out of the out of whatever it sells for, whatever you sell on the auction house, whether it's by people buying it directly or by bidding. 10% comes out, which is supposed to discourage
video game.
Yeah, it goes back into a non-existent budget or market, I suppose. But it's supposed to try and regulate that to to stop people from doing shady things with MT, but it's obviously not effective. So I think if they, if you, you're already trying to curb the problematic behavior, but they're not doing a good enough job. So I would not be against some kind of upper limit. It's kind of saying if you're the first one to get that bid in, then, you know, hammer down, sold kind of thing. So I wouldn't be against it. Or if you're not going to do that, raise the amount of MT that you can earn in game. Like there has to have one or the other. It has to be one or the other.
Well, just hearing the way that, you know, oh, the 10%, and, you know, the way it's a video game.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's not like the MT pays 2K server bills or anything. Because MT you don't buy. MT you can only earn in game, or again buy illegally through a third party. So that is the problem with MT.
Yeah. Anyway, I like a lot of the new ideas, and from the sounds of it, it's going to be received well, and I think that they're going to win people over with the cross-platform thing, but PS4, PS5, you know, the carrying over progress. I think people are going to like the less daunting 300 games as opposed to 1,000. I think that all of this sounds good. You know, the season thing.
Yep.
And I like the getting rewards for cards you don't want, like better rewards, excuse me. So I don't know. I like all the sounds of it. I'm not sure if it's a mode I will jump into. Maybe I'll dabble in it and see if I like it at all. But it does sound good, and I think that overall it will probably be well received.
There's a couple of others just to run through real quick. Badges are back this year, where you can apply badges to upgrade cards. I'm actually not a fan of that. I was quite happy to see them gone, and I know Eric in the blog said that he was happy to see them back. I must disagree there. I think there's too many consumables and variables in my team as it is. The big thing is that they haven't removed contracts. And you do end up swimming in contracts, so it's not the biggest problem in the world, but so many other modes have removed contracts. Similar modes in other games have removed contracts, including the last version of Live Ultimate Team in Live 19. So that is something that's not happened this year, which, again, people are a little bit upset about, understandably so, because that's just something else to deal with. With the badges again, and it comes down to how they're balanced as well. But I just feel there's too many consumables. And
badge-wise, can you assign... So let's say I got Akeem Olajuwon, right? Can I assign, like, an ankle breaker to Akeem?
I believe there might be some restrictions, and also they have to be applied sequentially this year, so you have to go bronze, then apply a silver badge to upgrade to silver, then gold. So you wouldn't be able to just get a Hall of Fame badge and whack it straight on. If nothing else, you wouldn't be able to get a Hall of Fame badge and whack it straight on a player. You would need to upgrade bronze, silver, gold, Hall of Fame.
I just think it's silly to even be able to have that, to be able to assign badges to players, because what you're doing is these are year specific, right?
Yep.
So like if I'm getting the 93-94 Akeem Olajuwon, I should be getting the 93-94 Akeem Olajuwon. Right, that's the player that I get, you know, the way he played in real life. And I shouldn't be able to upgrade my 93-94 Akeem Olajuwon. It's based on that 93-94
Akeem. I agree.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like the idea of upgrading, or, you know, leave that stuff for, like, when you create your own player, right?
Yeah.
Leave that stuff for my career. Don't put that in my team on real NBA players representing real seasons, because that's when you get the 07-08. That's when you get the 07-08 Yao Ming bombing threes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
And Eric actually, to that point, has a comment in the blog that it's my team is a fantasy mode, so it's all about fantasy. But I still think, and we've talked about this at length before, is that it needs to be rooted in realism and some kind of accuracy. If nothing else, to make different cards worth collecting, because if you can just make any card into what you want, then there's no point in collecting specific cards. So it kind of defeats the purpose. And again,
I want them to add super then at the beginning of, if they're going to still keep it like Akeem Olajuwon, I want it to be super Akeem Olajuwon 93-94.
Yeah.
Or take the year off. You know what? Just give me young, super young Akeem Olajuwon. How about that? That would make me feel a little bit better about, like, the structure of the mode, instead of giving me a year specific player.
Yeah. That is the problem. That it's where do you draw the line with fantasy as opposed to the fantasy aspect is putting together a fantasy team. Fantasy abilities, yeah. I think they've broken the mode, and that's I don't think they're listening to feedback, or they're listening to the wrong feedback on that point. We've talked about that before. Evolution cards are back. Those are the cards that when you get them, you can upgrade their gem level and their ratings by performing specific tasks. Each card has its own goals. There's also going to be some branching badge-based evolution paths that you can choose. The example they gave was with a Shaq card that you can get at launch in one of the promo packs is you can choose whether you want to go for the rebounding or the shot blocking badge, and whether you do that depends on which ratings you upgrade and which tasks you have to do, either 25 rebounds or 25 blocks to get to the next level. Evolution cards are one of the better ideas in 2K20. I really like the concept. So I think that's a good idea. And again, that gives you a reason to use different cards and to actually set yourself goals to use those cards and to get a certain amount of points and whatnot. So I think that's I'm glad they brought that back, and that's a little bit more flexibility in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about bringing ideas that work back. How many times in history, with the EA Sports NBA Live franchise, have we said, you know what, bring this back, guys.
Exactly.
This worked. Or yeah. Bring it back and maybe improve it a little bit, but this worked, and, people like this and stuff. And NBA 2K, I think, over the years has been pretty good at that. I think you had talked about in the developer blog that they're bringing size-ups back, right?
Yep.
So, or they're, bringing it back similar to the way we had it before. And you know what? They tried something new. It wasn't that well received. I think it hurt the authenticity of the game with NBA 2K20. So they said, you know what, we're going to go back to something that worked before, and we're going to put size ups back in the game. And that's why 2K ages better overall than NBA Live, is because they're willing to do that. You know what I mean? So I like the idea that they did that as well. And I like the idea that they're not just saying, you know what, we moved on to this NBA 2K20 dribble system, and we're just going to keep it this way because it's new. You know what I mean?
For sure. And if it's an idea that works, go back to that. Well, absolutely. Speaking of that, I have to correct myself from that show. I was talking about how the size-ups were working in a previous game. Live 15 it was, that you hold the stick and it goes into the size-up. In Live 10, you would hold down sprint, and that's how it would do it. Same thing, holding down a control, so that's where my confusion came in. But I've been playing a bit of Live 10 recently for get screenshots and whatnot, and I was reminded of how the mechanic worked when I did that. So slight correction on a previous show, last week's show, that is, for me. Just wrapping up here on the My Team blog, other content includes the Idol series is going to be your premium historical series, signature challenges based on memorable performances that you get cards for, an objective with all the things that you can unlock and all the challenges. There'll be an objective tracker that you can track the agenda and all the different objectives that you're currently shooting for. There's going to be a holographic basketball that you can unlock. Last year they had the On Fire basketball, the bit of a Jam tribute there. It's going to be a holographic basketball. Something that they're just hinting at called Dark Matter, so whether it's something above Galaxy Opal, that's the current speculation. Pre-order promo packs will also offer the chance to pull rare cards as opposed to just basic stuff, or indeed garbage. And there's also going to be a new prize mechanic, called the Ascension, just Ascension, has been added, where we select from different face-down cards and you can ascend to higher tiers of rewards. So there's also going to be the boards back for ball drops and everything. So there's a couple of different reward systems based on different modes and everything. So a lot of content, basically, some pretty good improvements across the board, things that could really work well. And I like the sound of it, Derek, but as we kind of alluded to on a couple of occasions, if the gameplay isn't really up to scratch, we're not feeling the gameplay, then that is a problem even with a deep mode if you don't want to play the game itself. Although you can still collect cards, I suppose, with locker codes and what in My Team and see the collection grow, really you want to be able to play with them, because, you can collect cards quite easily in real life if you want to. You can buy the packs from Panini. They're the only company that's doing the NBA cards at the moment. They've got the exclusive deal. So no more Upper Deck or Fleer or anything, unfortunately. But so pretty good across the board. Gameplay is going to be paramount as far as enjoying that experience. But I like the sound of it. And as you said, the cross-platform progression is a very big deal. And I do like the sound of it. It's reading that blog, I actually come away with that thinking that sounds a lot better than some of the gameplay changes, although that remains to be seen, you know, reserving judgment and whatnot. But they're obviously going to be doing the same kind of things on next gen with it, because it's going to be, progression is going to be compatible. So that sounds good for both current gen and next gen.
Two things. One, gameplay is always going to be paramount. It's always going to be the most important. So I'm a little bit cautious because I didn't really enjoy 2K20 that much. So I'm really hoping that 2K21 does have improvements between the lines, because that's what will get me to play the game more, not all this new depth. The number two thing is, you talk about dark matters. You know what I want? And, you know, as far as like something you can unlock, the ability to break the backboard, even if it's only like a 0.5% chance that it happens, right? Like, it's a very infrequent performance, infrequent thing. Imagine how many people would be trying to get dunks over and over and over again, and how many times people would try to activate the backboard break sequence, you know, like on Coach K college basketball and whatnot. I want to be like Jerome Lane coming down the lane and just smash the backboard. I think that would be a cool feature. I mean, if they're going to add things like you had mentioned, like the NBA Jam type fireball, they're going to add a holographic ball, and whatnot. If you're going to do stuff like that, why not add something that, you know, actually happened in basketball history, whether it was Shaq, sure, Jordan, or Jerome Lane, or not, and add some sort of way to break the backboard. I think that would also get people to be spending more time on the game.
Fantasy mode. People would grind
for that. Yeah, exactly. And I think people would grind for that type of feature. So, yes, I do want you to get ideas based on this podcast, NBA 2K.
For something like that. Yeah.
Sorry.
For something like that, though, would you make that an advertised feature? Or would it be something like, kind of like you look back at a... like the original Jam with all its secrets, or a Mortal Kombat where you would just be playing the game in the arcades, and of course there were the home versions later, but then you'd be playing in the arcades and then, you know, Reptile jumps down and has one of his cryptic messages, like look to La Luna, of course, and giving the hints of how to unlock him. Would you just make it that somehow somebody shatters the backboard and then it just spreads like, oh, you can shatter the backboard, and then we're all trying to figure out how and why? Would you make it a secret or advertised feature?
How exciting would it be when you saw that somebody would put up a video on YouTube and would say NBA 2K20, oh my god, I just shattered the backboard, and that video gets 10 million views.
Yeah,
right. Because you know that people would be drawn to that.
Can you imagine? I'm picturing the thumbnail right now. It's going to be like the shattered backboard and the wide open gaping stare, you know, the astonished look on the creator's face, the astonished look and the shadow backward in the background, yeah.
Which has been proven to work time and time again.
Yeah,
I think it would be absolutely cool either way. If they advertise it ahead of time, people would be on trying to do it. If later on somebody did it and triggered it and posted the video, and then everybody else gets on to try to see if they can do it, I mean, that would be cool as well. But they'd have to have some thing that triggers it. Like, maybe it's identified later or something like that. But yeah, I just think it would be a cool feature.
It would have to be, and if it was a secret feature, it would have to have a pretty good chance of happening to somebody within the first week of the game coming out, the first month of the game coming out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because otherwise, then they'd have to say something.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Kind of ruins the surprise. Then again, developers do that. Like, have you discovered the secret yet? You know, it's something that either way, you could definitely make it work. But
they could hint at it. Right. They could do, like, an advertisement or something like that, you know, like a trailer. And they could include, like, the backboard breaking or something like that. And they could say something like, "Have you done it yet?" And then people are like, "Oh my god, how do I do this?"
You mean like the rim hitting the floor in the next gen trailer with Zion Williamson?
Ah, yeah, exactly, something like that. Yeah,
yeah. Good point. I mean, I don't think it's actually going to hint at that, but you could do it that way. If they did put rare backboard shattering in one of the modes, that would be a pretty cool way of revealing it subtly. I hadn't thought of that.
That's a great point. Oh my god. How do we not work for 2K at this point? I'm just kidding.
The criticisms, the shots at running 2K, that's probably. Yeah,
I'm glad the developers took a break from Twitter. Yeah, that's probably.
Suddenly, it's all falling into place. But hopefully, it all falls into place with the gameplay as well, and not ruined by patches. That if any patches come through, it's fixed. And of course, we will be able to get that that first hands-on experience with the demo coming this week. Again, by the time this comes out, and most people listen to it throughout the week. Probably demo will be already out, of course, with the way it's coming out. We'll have to wait until next weekend to give our impressions. I'm sure we'll talk about it on social media and in the forum and whatnot, but we'll have our show next week. We'll be talking about it. But that is coming out on 8/24/8, either way you want to look at it, August 24th, Kobe Day this year. And we've seen on Twitter that it's basically going to be the same demo as last year, with a My Player builder and a couple of teams in 2KU, possibly different teams, rather than just repeating the, because we don't have NBA finalists yet. Normally it would be the NBA finalists would be the default choice, so they're hinting at choosing a couple other teams. I'm going to assume the Lakers are going to be one of the teams, just probably the way it goes. Maybe the Lakers and the Bucks, something like that, or maybe the Lakers and Blazers, considering Damian Lillard being the cover player. In fact, reflecting on it, it'd be very surprising if the Blazers weren't one of the teams that are available in 2KU. But again, a kind of a not unexpected, Derek, but certainly disappointing that it's going to be just another kind of lackluster demo for people. I want to move away from My Career as well, but certainly for people like yourself who haven't even really been into My Career or not been in My Career at all in recent years, for the demo to be built around My Player Builder, no pun intended, that's kind of disappointing that that's the meat of the mode, is coming up with a player when you want to find out how the 5v5 gameplay plays, which you can kind of get with the 2KU, but it's even less than old demos back in the day where you got a couple of quarters of 5-on-5 gameplay, or certainly what NBA Live has been doing. So it's one of those things where I think a lot of people, you'll get the basics, you'll get the idea of shooting and everything and running through tutorials, I suppose, but it's what we expected, but at the same time, it's still disappointing nevertheless.
Yeah, it is. I talked about this on a prior podcast. I think that's one leg up that NBA Live had on NBA 2K as far as their demo. Their demo at least featured real NBA teams in a real NBA format in an arena, playing and not in a real game atmosphere, as opposed to like 2KU scrimmage gameplay and whatnot, with all the interruptions that can come with that as well. I think what they could do with this is, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if they use the Blazers. I wouldn't be surprised if they put the Pelicans and the Blazers against each other or something like that. I think the Lakers would be involved there, though. So maybe Lakers, Blazers, Blazers, Clippers, something like that. I do want to point out, though, that, you know, if they're trying to do something for Kobe, you know, it would be neat if they haven't announced a team yet, so I don't think that would be something they would do. But, you know, if they were going to add the 09-10 Lakers, put them in 2KU, or like the 2000-2001 Lakers, because they're already in the game.
I was going to say, well, doesn't the Kobe in the demo preview promo picture is wearing number 8, which would be the 2001 Lakers. So, yeah, maybe they do it that way. Although the hairstyle doesn't fit. Was it number 8? I'll go back and have to look at that.
That is for Obi. No, that's the right one. Yeah, the 2000-2001 or 97-98. Like those, either one of those teams would work. So, I mean, that would be a cool tribute to Kobe if they did that in 2KU and put him on the practice floor. But I don't think they'll do that, because I still think it's all about, you know, promoting the new game, the now game, you know, from a marketing standpoint. But yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's a little bit frustrating that you don't get actual 5-on-5 in game, in arena gameplay.
I'm just looking at the demo splash image that they put up before the preview image. It's bald Kobe wearing throwback 24. So. Whatever that means, you know, that there's no hints there. It's a very mix of eras there.
Yeah, I mean, again, that what they could do is do 09-10 or 08-09 if they end up coming out and announcing those teams. I mean, like I said, in the trailer, that could have been a hint where Pau Gasol was in the Lakers jersey on that screen that had the splash Barcelona and whatnot, with the L capitalized in big lettering in the middle of the in the middle of the wording. So I mean, it's possible they could do something like that. I think that would be neat if they did say, you know, who else is an 09-10 or in that year for teams. So they have the 09-10, they'll have the 09-10 Lakers. What's another 09-10 team that they have in the game already?
They got the Blazers. They
right.
Last year, yeah.
Brandon Roy versus Kobe or something like that. See, I think that would be a nice touch.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I don't know how big of a hit that would be with everybody else because they market the now NBA game so much. But I do think it would be neat.
Well, you know, we've talked before about nostalgia hitting the younger generation, starting to hit those people who are maybe in their early to mid-20s, remember growing up watching Kobe as we grew up watching. I mean, with our age, we still kind of grew up watching him as well, but in these early days, whereas they watched an established Kobe, much as we watched an established Michael Jordan, I suppose. So that's... I can see them putting in a Kobe, especially with his passing. That they would do that, so it is possible that they've done that. If they have, I think it's overdue. It really has been about getting people like Lamar Odom and Andrew Bynum in the game to complete those either an 09 or 2010 Lakers. But that they are conspicuous by their absence. That particular championship team from the complement of historical teams in NBA 2K over the years. So it would be cool. But if they did do something for Kobe, maybe you can. Maybe he's the player for the tutorials in 2KU. That could be another way they do it as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways they can do it. Again, I just want to see how the game feels.
Yeah.
It's just so important the way the game feels. I don't want it to have the same change of direction mechanics that were in 2K20, although I'm fearing that it's going to be like that. I want the foot planning to be a little bit better, and I want the game to feel less heavily animated. You know, less two-man animations, less heavily animated.
Less canned.
I just want it to be canimations. Yeah, exactly. A lot of fun things to say on this episode. You know, canimations, Froby.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. But yeah, just the gameplay is so important.
It is. And we have our concerns after reading the gameplay blog last week. Maybe they'll be allayed with the demo. Maybe we'll... They'll be confirmed. We do have options, of course, with the shooting, so that will be something to see when that happens. And, of course, generally speaking, do you use the stick or the button to shoot?
It depends. So if I'm in the post and I'm executing a fadeaway, I will use the joystick and push it away from the basket. Mm. So if I'm trying to do a shimmy fade or anything like that, I'll use the joystick. If I'm just shooting like a straight-up jump shot, like if I'm catching the ball or I'm just trying to shoot on the move or something like that, I will use the button. If I'm attacking the rim most of the time, as long as it's working right, like it does in 2K17 and 2K16, if I'm attacking the rim, I'm using the joystick in order to finish on the correct side of the basket. So mm-hmm. I'll like go right, whether it's finish on the right or left to finish on the left, depending on the camera view and whatnot, because I use camera relative. If I'm going baseline to do a reverse layup, I push the joystick out of bounds. So basically, it's kind of a combination for me.
Same, yeah. I've
for straight shooting, I use the button usually.
I used to be button pretty much exclusively back in the day. The only time I'd really do it would be to, again, perform a flashy dunk or, as you say, maybe finish on one side of the rim. Now I do alternate pretty regularly, so the new shooting on the stick is something that we'll be getting used to. But then again, there are the options, so it'll be worth trying them out, both options, which I assume will be in the demo that you can try out and see which one you like best. So we will of course cover that after we've played it this week. Again, I'm sure we'll have our say in the forum on probably Twitter as well, but definitely as far as in-depth discussion, that will be next week. And of course, whatever developer blog comes out between now and then, of course, the fact that they haven't brought out a My Career blog yet before the actual demo that's going to have My Player Builder, I wonder what they're going to do with Story this year and whether there's going to be much, because it does look like there's going to be a new neighborhood, if nothing else, so I would assume there's going to be some kind of new story as well.
Super quiet, huh?
It is, yeah.
This is something we usually talk about extensively, from my memory, you know, in previous releases at this point. As far as, giving us more details and stuff like that. And I think if you remember correctly, I think it was with 2K18, it was Jason Tatum. And they had videos pop up far before the game, the demo was released, of Jason Tatum running around in the neighborhood.
It's been a very quiet previous season, very quiet and compressed previous season.
You're right, exactly. And it's, you know, and that's, I can't remember who brought it up in the forum. It might have been Q. I don't remember exactly, but they brought up how it's so frustrating that they continue to move closer and closer to the release date before giving us information.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. While also putting the pre-order to at least 6 weeks or 8 weeks out, which is becoming the trend. I would imagine with next gen, in a couple of months' time, when I'm sure they're going to start heating up and pushing through that next gen information, that's probably going to be a bit more exciting and certainly a bit more to say, because this is. I mean, it sounds very dismissive to call it 2K20.5 and everything, and I'm sure a lot more effort has gone into it than just that. But they've reached the end of innovation, I would say, apart from changing up the controls. But as far as tech, as far as surprising us with screenshots, I mean, they've put out the gameplay trailer already. That first trailer, the name of which is escaping me at this time. Everyone,
which says, doesn't actually show us any gameplay.
It's cinematic. Sorry, it's cinematic gameplay. As always. So it basically says that it's probably the current gen version is going to play very similarly to 2K20, maybe with some new wrinkles. Maybe it's hopefully a bit of a tighter experience. Again, that's not unexpected at the end of a generation's life cycle as the current generation. It's not surprising at all, but next gen is probably going to bring some more excitement as far as that. You would certainly hope so, and that's when it's going to be whatever the equivalent of the OMG trailer is going to be. Any kind of new tech that they're going to show off, that's when they're going to be dropping the screenshots. But I mean, you compare it to last year when we were getting ratings and everything. Of course, there's not going to be any draftees when the game launches. So it's a very unique situation that we're in, thanks to the pandemic and the restart and the bubble and everything.
They still have, you know, the structure in place. They still have, they know that people just want to play a basketball game, basketball. They want to dive into their career and their modes and all of that stuff. So there could be a worse situation than them not having a structured schedule or the draftees or anything like that.
It'll
people
come
are
through,
still you know. Playing the game, and they know it. And like you said, you know, in the this day in tech and all of that stuff, this day in tech, by D for three, this day in tech, they can, you know, push patches through and they can get that content in the game. So that's the advantage of today, is the fact that they can have a release like this where things can be up in the air, next season-wise, schedule-wise, rookie-wise, all of that stuff, and then they can just patch it in.
Yeah,
that's not a luxury we had, in the past.
I mean, if they could, for NBA Live 99 PC, they were able to push through, and I just talked about this in the Friday 5 of unexpected updates for games, if they can push through the roster update, or of course it was downloaded from the site back in the day, no on-demand patches back then, but if they can release a patch that has adds all the missing players, including audio, as it did, as well as the 50-game schedule. If they could do that in 1998 or 1999, early 1999 when the season started again, if they can do it then, they can push through all that stuff. And of course, they did it for 2K12 with the lockout of 2011 as well. So it's definitely feasible, and they will do all of that. And the content for my team, of course, will update. But since we have broached next gen, which again is when the exciting, perhaps the real preview season is going to be the next gen. You would certainly hope so, with that being the exciting new launch title for the next gen. Since we are getting current gen, and I just suppose we haven't really talked about our plans that much. I'm looking to get a PlayStation 5 to upgrade to that, which is why I'll be looking at getting the Mamba Forever Edition for PS4, so that I've get that included copy. But I've been thinking about it with current gen coming out. I mean, I'll also, again, terribly part of the problem, double dipping with PC and PS4 and triple dipping with the PS5. I'll have the PC version to maybe explore some modding and to have it in the collection. With the PS4, I'll be getting the Mamba Forever Edition to be able to get the PS5 edition without spending that extra money. But as far as playing the PS4 version and the PC version, I've been wondering, yes, I want them in my collection, collector that I am, but what are my plans for them? Because I'm looking to move away from my career. I'd like to play some more of my team, and I'll be able to do that because my team will carry across. But then, do I want to start a My League or anything? Because, first of all, it's going to launch with this season/last season's rosters, and by the time I really get into a My League, unless I'm simulating a lot, it's... and even when the rosters come through for next season with the rookies after the draft, then I'm going to have to, in a month or 6 weeks, 8 weeks or whatever, after that, I'll be playing the next-gen version, presumably, So it kind of leaves me wondering what I'll be doing with the current gen version for a couple of months. It's one of those weird things for those of us that are double dipping and upgrading.
Well, my brothers and I have already talked about this. So on release day, what we're going to do on September 4th, we're going to do a fantasy draft and try to go back to, we'll see if we have fun with it. Remember, gameplay is paramount. Mm-hmm. We're trying to go back to what we used to do with like Live 2004. And basically what it is instead of throwing all the legends in there like we've been doing over the last few years, we do a draft with the stock roster and, you know, pick our teams that way. And what this did in the past, you and I have talked about this before. We've talked about how it's created video game legends. You know, you talk about Ansu Sese and, you know, Dan Dickow and Walter McCarty, and you have guys like Hashim Tabit who you could get later in the draft, in games that were later on. And when I say going back to Live 2004, I'm not just talking about Live 2004. I'm talking about, you know, probably I'd say like NBA 2K12 down, you know, using the stock roster to do a draft. So what we're going to probably end up doing is doing a draft with the stock roster, see how we like the gameplay. You know, we're going to try to create legends with the game, you know, guys that are not as well-known players, you know, maybe they bust out a 40-point performance or something like that. We can talk about that for years. So that's probably what we're going to do first with the game. Otherwise, because I'm going to be having it on PC, I'm going to test out the modding tools and see what we can do mod wise. If I really like the game, maybe I'll jump into like some sort of classic teams roster that I've done in the past and whatnot, and I'll download mods from the community. So those are basically my plans. You know, as far as starting a my league outside of the fantasy draft roster, I wouldn't do it unless I ended up having a full-fledged classic teams roster or all-time teams roster in order to, you know, jump in, you know, with no duplicates. As far as PS5 goes, when we get that, obviously I'm not going to have the privilege of being able to use PC mods because it won't be on PC. So that's going to be another situation where we dive into it. We probably do that fantasy draft, test out the gameplay. If we really like it, we'll continue that fantasy draft. Maybe I'll start a my league on my own using some classic teams. Maybe there's customizable, you know, maybe there's good enough customizing features in the PS5 version where I can fill in some of the classic teams and start a classic teams my league. But really, those are my plans. I may jump into my team just to take a look at it, but otherwise, those are pretty much my plans with PS4 and PS5.
Solid plans, I would say. And as you say, again, the gameplay is going to be so important to see whether you're feeling it and if the current gen version is enough of an upgrade. To that point, you know, I've already written an article about this. It may go out this week for Monday tip-off. I've not been able to really go back that much, and I will go back and play games, which I did for Way Back Wednesday, and also for my own enjoyment. But with 2K, with Live 06 for many years, PC that is, I stuck with that as I was not feeling the console versions as much and I wasn't into 2K yet. So I stuck with Live 06, which I was also updating. And of course, I have the Dynasty with the Bulls where I'm up to Season 3 playing all the games on that one. And it's been one of my favorite experiences and it's one of the ones I've dusted off again here and there over the years. Not for the last 5 or 6 years, though. I think the last time I played that, say, was 2014. But with Live, I would go back more often. With 2K, I've usually moved forward as far as the game that's most heavily in my rotation, except for 2K. With 2K18, I just ended up playing more of Live 18 after I put that aside. So I've always had that option. Without that option of having a new Live game, what am I going to do this time? And I've been thinking about it. Because I've got a few cards late with my team in NBA 2K20, I feel that if 2K20 current gen, or 2K21 current gen rather, is a disappointment to me, if I don't like it, and I'm waiting for next gen to see if the next gen version has improved, this might be the first time I actually stick with a 2K game beyond the season, beyond a year. I might actually stick at least for a few months, and at least maybe until next gen comes out. I could see myself, because I do like 2K20, I wouldn't say it's my favorite in the series, but I've been having enough fun with it that I could probably, at least for a couple of months, or eight, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever, until the next-gen version comes and possibly impresses me more with, you know, being rebuilt from the ground up, as they say, my backup plan is actually to stick with 2K20. as far as my main game in the rotation if I don't like 2K21 current gen.
I need to bring up something really quick about that too. So if 2K21 is a bomb and, you know, we're playing it and we're like, you know what, this feels like 2K20 or even worse and we don't want to play it, you know, up until the PS5 version comes out, my brother and I, mostly me recently because he's been working a lot more, have been putting a ton of work into our NBA 2K17 roster. I've added, you know, the 92-93 Hawks, the 90-91 Jazz, the 91-92 Spurs, the 16-17 MVP Russell Westbrook. Like, we've added, and I've been, I think I've made 30 or 40 portraits over the last few days, and you've been adjusting signatures. So, you know, what we might do in that case, and we may be doing it anyway and swapping between the two, is playing 2K17. Hmm. And maybe I'll work on my 2K16 roster and all of that stuff. That's the beauty of keeping these old games, these older games, is, you know, you can always go back to them. And the fact that we've had modding now since NBA 2K9, we have over a decade of games that we can jump into modding with, or we can add, you know, either make our own mods or add mods to them and freshen up the experience. So, you know, old games aren't what they used to be. You know, these games over the last decade can still be modded, improved, and made fresh. And they can still hold up. So,
what do you think is the oldest game you could go back to and play regularly? Like, say you had to replace a 2K20 or you know, coming out 2K21. Say you had to replace a current game from the current year or the last couple of years. How far do you think you could go back and perhaps update it or get a community roster for it and still play it? How far back do you think you could go?
I might even be able to go back to like Live 96. Hmm. I have to be honest. And I think the reason is because...
On the regular? That would be your main game?
Season. Like when you say on the regular, I think play a season.
Yeah, like that.
That's what I would consider regular. It doesn't need to be like an intense season. It doesn't need to be transactions. It doesn't need to be something where I have to sit there for 2 hours thinking, do I want to make this trade? I'm talking about like actually just jumping in and playing games. I think that NBA Live 96 and Live 97, even more so than Live 98 for me recently, for some reason, I go back in those play those games and there's just this kind of loose fun to them. Hmm. So I think it's possible. I think that if you really want to get down to it, though, and you want to talk about, you know, one that I know for a fact that I could stick with, I think I could go back to NBA 2K6 and up.
Hmm.
I think I could definitely do a season on NBA 2K6. I think that the gameplay on Xbox 360 and the PS3, I think it still holds up very well today. I made a gameplay video of it recently. I like that season in the NBA. I like the rosters. I like the players. I like the loose feel of the gameplay. So I definitely think I could even, you know, I'm pretty sure that I could go back to NBA 2K6 and play a full season.
You know, I probably could go back to Live 06. It's gotten a bit harder over the years because 2K has done some things, especially with the modes that I really like. There's more up-to-date 2K games that have that great balance between the depth of the modes and gameplay that I enjoy, that 06 is harder for me than it used to be to go back to. But no, I probably ran that time I could, and certainly with the nostalgia, I've kind of got a bit of nostalgia for the mid-2000s going at the moment and the mid to late 2000s. Maybe it's because I've been dusting off 09 and 10, Live 09 and Live 10 recently to get some screenshots for articles. That's probably that. And I have to admit, I didn't play those games as much as some of the earlier ones because, again, they weren't on PC. And funnily enough, at the time I had an old CRT TV, and those games, you know, now that I'm actually playing them on a nice, proper, big screen TV, not a huge cinema, but certainly a better than the crappy old CRT that I had at the time, everything about them is so much better, even the menus being legible. That was one of the things, if I look back at some of my old complaints about the games, is that, these menus in Live sort of 07 to 10, that you just can't read them properly. I'm like, yeah, because look at my TV at the time. So I have to raise my hand and say, that was me. That wasn't the game. that was my TV. But I do have some nostalgia. I could probably go back to that. And, you know, obviously I'm making the 2K11 roster and working on that. So that's a game, again, I could play. More recently, maybe a 15, 16. 17 I enjoy. Although last time I dusted off 17, I was a bit frustrated by the charging foul bug or the charging foul frequency that that is an issue with that game. But there are definitely games that I could go back to. But if I did want to stick with 2K20, that's actually my backup option at the moment. Because I do have some cards that I've been able to acquire recently in my team that I haven't been able to play with as much yet, especially since I did get stuck into my team, my career rather, this year. So that's my backup plan, is to stick with 2K20 for at least maybe a couple of months and see how the next gen goes, if I don't like current gen.
If you said, D, you can either play in NBA Live, in order to stay, if you gave this scenario to me, you can stay doing the NLSC podcast only if you finish an entire season on NBA Live 07. I'm sorry, Andrew. I like you. You're a good friend, but I would quit the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game that if I wasn't doing content on it at times, I would... I'm oddly fascinated with it because of the time that it represents, but it's a game that I will revisit sparingly for morbid curiosity. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's not the best.
But with all that being said, I think we've pretty much reached the end of this week's episode. It's great to get that blog and get some good information, and hopefully with the demo coming out that we do have. We are inclined to play 2K21, both current gen and then maybe next gen. And certainly if we're upgrading, we definitely want to be able to enjoy that and perhaps a bit more than 2K14 and definitely more than Live 14, which I didn't care for at all. And I know I'm not alone at that point, but hopefully some more good news this week.
No, absolutely. This is an exciting time to be a basketball gaming fan with, you know, all the previews or lack of. But it's, you know, it being preview season and the demo coming out. And then, you know, we have, double the excitement now. We have the PS4 version coming out. And then a few months later, PS5. And we're going to have all the updates. You know, while we're playing the PS4 version, we're going to be getting previews and information about the PS5 version. So it's definitely exciting. And, you know, it never gets old for me. I think that, you know, I've been a basketball gamer just like you since, I'm going to say late 80s, you know, early 90s. And, you know, every single time I hear about a new game coming out, a new basketball game, I get excited about it. So think about that. You know, it's been like 30 years and I still get super excited about it. And I don't think that will ever change.
Very cool. And to that end, on Steam, you know, we'll save the discussion for another time, but there's that new Philippine Basketball Association game that's in the style of NBA Jam that's come out that at the moment it's not available. I've wishlisted it that I might check it out, depending on the price, of course, when it comes out. But maybe, you know, I'm not that familiar with the PBA except that basketball is huge in the Philippines, and we've had a lot of Filipino members over the years, and including members of staff. So that's kind of cool that that's coming out. It's not an NBA title, of course, but the fact that it's an official PBA title is pretty cool, and maybe another one to check out. And it's one of those ones that if the gameplay is good, then maybe it'll be worth checking out for us, and might learn a few things about some players that we're not that familiar with. Although I believe there's a couple of players like Andre Blatch, former NBA players, who are actually in there at the moment. So it's
NBA legend. Versatile power forward Andre Blatch from the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
I actually have that on my wish list as well. My brother and I saw it, and it's something that I'm definitely going to be getting no matter what. And who knows? Maybe it's going to be. Maybe it will bomb. Maybe it won't be that great. But you know, it's just nice to see a title coming out, especially in the arcade, you know, basketball space. So I'll definitely be checking it out.
Trailer certainly made it look interesting and very jam-like, and hopefully it hits those right points, and again, Playgrounds has kind of scratched that itch for a lot of people, so we will see, and it might be something that's very fun to cover. But in the meantime, we turn the conversation over to our faithful listeners. Let us know what you thought about this week's topics, what you think about the NBA 2K21 My Team blog, what your plans are for the transition from current gen to next gen, whether you're going to wait a year, and certainly if you're on PC, then that's really the only choice is to stick with that current gen port. But let us know what you're thinking as far as the game is shaping up, the preview season, and everything else that we talked about this week. As I said at the top of the show, we did record that your podcast this week, the debut episode of Holding Court. So I'll throw that over to you. I'll put the ball in your court, Derek. If you'd like to talk a little bit about that and let us know about that and where we can listen to it, and anything else you want to promote at this time.
Absolutely. So Holding Court with D for Three is on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and Stitcher. We recorded episode one, ran a little over 2 hours. I think it was a good show, so make sure to check that out. Follow me on Twitter for updates at D for Three 84. I'm also on YouTube, D for Three, and over on the NLSC as a contributor, D for Three. I did recently upload some face packs for NBA 2K20 and NBA 2K19, long overdue, but I am still modding here and there, you know, for NBA 2K20 and prior NBA 2K games.
Looking forward to the day when I can say that my 2K11 roster is out, but it is still a work in progress. The modding itch, it is fun to scratch, is it not?
I'll say, like Rick Pitino said when he was talking about the Celtics walking through, you know, Larry Bird's not walking through that door, you know, and if he does, he's gray and old. It's, you know, when by the time that the NBA 2K11 roster is released, Andrew's going to be walking through that door and he's going to be gray and old.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that. It's not going to be that.
Pulling all my hair out at the time. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
So with that being said, of course, the NLSC podcast comes out each and every week on the NLSC, which is nba-live.com. Also various podcatching apps and platforms, just to name a couple of the big ones, obviously Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Also, I believe Podcast Addict as well. You can find us on those platforms, search for NLSC Podcast, look for our logo, and that will be us. Also, some links on the site that you can follow. On the platforms that allow you to leave a review, such as Apple Podcasts, if you'd care to leave us a hopefully positive review, 5 stars, if you feel so inclined, we would definitely appreciate it. If you'd like to leave those reviews, we might read out some of those on future shows. And of course, we'll look to get some mailbags going as well, because that was fun to do on your show, on Holding Court, Derek.
That was my favorite segment. The mailbag and the worst Twitter takes of the week were my two favorite segments on Holding Court.
I definitely enjoyed them as well. So once again, look out on those platforms and stay tuned to our various social media for the links to those shows. And once again, the NLSC podcast coming out every week on those platforms. Subscribe if you will, or again, tune in on the NLSC. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. As for social media, on Facebook and Twitter, we are the NLSC. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. Follow us on those social media platforms, not only for our updates of the various file editions, the modding releases, and also the original content such as Monday Tip-Off, the NLSC Podcast, Friday 5, and Way Back Wednesday, but also trying to do some more content such as the virtual hardwood photos every Saturday and some trivia on Thursday. That's a lot of fun to do, so keep it locked to our socials for that. Also on YouTube, we are NBA Live Series Center. I'm on Twitter at AndrewNLSC if you want to follow me personally for all my wonderful opinions about this and that. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that's all for this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.